Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Morning Show with John and you on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game on this very busy and interesting Thursday. Hawks and Heat tonight. Our coverage begins at 6:30 with a pregame show. 7 o'clock tip at State Farm Arena. Tickets available at Hawks.com. Steve Holman on the call tonight on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game. Also, you should know tickets are available for the first game of the Braves NLCS. Now, whether that's Game 1 Saturday or Game 3 next Tuesday, and of course, we won't know until 1 in the morning, tomorrow morning, or somewhere around there, are available now. They're up at Braves.com/tickets. You can get into the upper deck at $75. That's get-in ticket price face value at upper deck gear at 400 level. What's that? Buy two and then bring Oren. Did I do that right, Oren? Did I show you enough?
Yes.
Okay.
Excellent, John.
Yeah. don't expect him to pay for parking or even a hot dog. Just bring Oren, okay? It's all on you. That's the get-in price. Braves.com/tickets for that. A little bit later in this hour, Alex Anthopoulos, general manager of the Atlanta Braves, joins us live, and we'll talk to him about the series ahead, about the team so far this year, and a lot of interesting questions here about this ball club. Right now, I want to talk to you about what the best route to a parade is in Atlanta. Is it Giants Red Sox? Is it Giants Astros? Is it Dodgers Red Sox? Is it Dodgers Astros? Now, Abe spoke for a lot of people who seem to think that from a personnel standpoint, Dodgers-Astros is the toughest route. Now, there are advantages to Dodgers-Astros, not the least of which is the fact that if it is the Dodgers, you get home field advantage. There is no Clayton Kershaw, so that's an advantage here too. Right now, 57% are saying Giants-Red Sox, and this is the poll that we're doing on our Twitter at 929TheGame. 57% are saying Giants, then Red Sox. 17% say Dodgers, then Red Sox. 17% also say Giants, then Astros, and only 9% say Dodgers, then Astros. So what's the best route to our parade? 404-741-0929. You can vote in the poll. You can call in right now. You can vote in the poll and tell us why you think that is. And then you can also, if you go vote in the poll, you can jump in and you can comment on why you voted the way you do. I want to give a shout-out, guys, to Brian Corbett. Brian Corbett has gone on our Twitter, and he has made the case for why he voted for Giants, then Astros, which is currently third in the voting here, but it's a pretty good case. He lays out a case on our Twitter that I really kind of like here, why Giants, then Astros. He says, let's not face the overexperienced playoff ungodly payroll super team. That's the Dodgers. You don't want to face them. Okay, that's fine. But he goes on talking about why the Astros over the Red Sox. And you go, why don't anybody want to play the Astros considering their lineup versus the Red Sox? He says this, I definitely don't want annoying arse Red Sox fans at Truist if we are in the World Series. That's actually a really good point. If you're playing the World Series here against the Red Sox, guys, how many Red Sox fans show up and start stealing our tickets? A lot, right? Or am I missing
that's
something?
Fair. No, that's fair. Yeah. It's fair. It doesn't bother me. I mean, it sucks as a city that we have fans, but it doesn't bother me. I mean,
okay.
we have a chance to buy the tickets. If we don't buy it, they
so
should.
So I think that's a really good point because, you know, those Red Sox fans will be kind of, you know, trying to roll thick there. And so that's a really good point by Brian Corbett. And his second point is also pretty good. He says, I definitely don't want any annoying blank Red Sox fans at Truist if we are in the World Series. Plus, if it's the Astros, the whole nation will root for us.
That one does bother me. That one bothers me. It does, but it does nothing for you. Who cares? The Astros have been to four straight ALCSs. They've had people rooting against them for three of the last 4 years. Has it stopped them? Has it bothered them? They literally just had another pitcher call them out for cheating. And
they went out and won the game 10-1. Yeah,
that's right. So, I mean, I get it, but like I said, the fan base, the whole idea of
– I home, know, but
– come on.
I know, but still, come on. What do you mean, come on?
I'd rather deal with a couple of extra fans in the stands supporting the other team and having that team be nowhere as good as what our opponent could have been.
Look, there's going to be no easy route. We all understand that, okay? There are no easy routes. There are, you know, going to be four teams after tonight. There are going to be four teams left standing, one of which is the Braves. You know, I can make an argument that the Braves are the hottest – of the four teams. If you missed it earlier, I was kind of going down that little stat. And now you pick and choose your stats. I get that. Okay.
Yeah,
and I'm
picking
and choosing.
The stat I would pick and choose is we had the third easiest schedule wrapping up the season.
Yeah. We also went 15-3, okay, in the last 18 games. And in those 18 games, you eliminated San Diego from the wild card when they had to win in San Diego. You eliminated Philadelphia from the NL East when they had to win in Atlanta, and you eliminated the Milwaukee Brewers from the playoffs. Straight out, okay? Straight out. You knocked them out of the NLDS. And by the way, you didn't have to work all that hard in any case to eliminate the Padres, to eliminate the Phillies, or to knock the Brewers out. You didn't have to go to the max, to the mat, to do that. You were able to, even though you're really not hitting the ball the way we expect you to be hitting the ball, and you know this line, or let me put it this way, not expect, but the way this lineup is capable of hitting the ball, you know, you beat these teams and punched them and kicked them into the dirt. So don't give me this. This was an 88-win team, okay? This team was different after the All-Star break. From August 2nd, okay? August 2nd was an off day. If you go back and look at the schedule. On August the 2nd, the Braves were three games under 500. They were still reeling. This is right after the trade deadline. They had just brought in all these new guys, the Solares and the Petersons, the Duvalls, the Rosarios, the Rodriguezes. I mean, they changed their team. Alex Anthopoulos changed his team over, right? I mean, there was a whole massive changeover of new guys because what did they say the other night? 10 new players on the team from when we started the season. So there's this whole big change that happens to the team. They're three games under 500, and a lot of times that doesn't work. This worked. From three games under 500, they go 39-19. So you can't just say, so the second half of the season into the playoffs, the Braves have been one of the best teams in Major League Baseball. I mean, so this whole argument that the Braves somehow, because they only won 88 games as a champion of the worst division in baseball, that they don't belong here is just bupkis. It's just not, it doesn't fly. And also, when you're talking about the Dodgers and the Giants here, and you're looking tonight going, I really want to play the Giants. Keep in mind, the Giants are a really good baseball team. They've got a deep lineup. They've got a lot of guys that can hurt you in that lineup. I mean, they it's not like they are – I think some people look at the Giants and automatically think that they're not a very good baseball team or that they somehow grossly overachieved. I mean, they may have overachieved, but grossly overachieved? I mean, they are game five against the Dodgers for a reason. They did win that division over the Dodgers and the Padres for a reason. So, this is a good baseball team. All the teams are good. Red Sox are peaking. They just went through the grind of the American League East of Tampa and Toronto and the Yankees, and they came out of it. You know, even I understand it was wild card, but they came out of it, and look where they are. I mean, so you could have two wild card teams, by the way, in among the final four here if the Dodgers win tonight. So. Well, how much of a wild card team the Dodgers are is a debatable issue. The Red Sox are a true wild card team. The Dodgers is a wild card team. Is like, oh, okay. Those four teams, the Braves are one of the final four standing. And as hot as they are, I think anything is possible. You can argue in this what we're doing here with the Giants, Red Sox, Giants, Astros, Dodgers, Red Sox, Dodgers, Astros, that it doesn't much matter. But Abe's right. I mean, on paper, from a personnel standpoint, the hardest road is Dodgers-Astros. And Orrin said that too. Because it is. I mean, from a personnel standpoint. But there are benefits to it. And the benefit, of course, is that if you're facing the Dodgers, you get home field. For Dodgers-Red Sox, Boston's a team that I don't know. I mean, I guess I'll worry about the World Series when I worry about the World Series first things first. But when I'm thinking about a parade here, Astros or Red Sox, I think Astros and Red Sox is a coin flip. I think Dodgers-Giants is a coin flip. I don't think it's just set in stone that you say, well, of the four potential matchups to a parade, Dodgers-Astros is demonstrably the hardest, and the Giants-Red Sox is demonstrably the easiest. I think if in fact, Dodgers-Astros is the hardest and Giants-Red Sox is the easiest, I don't think there's a whole lot of daylight between the two. I just don't. I think we're talking about the Braves are going to have to do everything they did against Milwaukee in terms of starting pitching, relief pitching, defense. They're going to have to run the bases better, obviously, and I'm not just talking about Adam Duvall, but everybody, but specifically Adam Duvall. And then, of course, they're going to have to get the bench play, and then you're going to have to get those guys to start hitting. And just hit baby. I mean, they got to start hitting. The Braves will rise and fall in their hitting. And that's one of the questions I'm going to be asking Alex Anthopoulos is, you know, what one area do you have to excel in here if we're going to have a parade? I'll just give you a little hint as to one of the questions I'm going to ask him and see what he says about that. In my world, I think that if the Braves don't hit over the next 3 weeks, let's say they play 13 games. Let's say they go to the World Series and they play 13 games, whether or not they win it, either 7-6 or 6-7. And let's just say they play 13 games. If they don't hit 29 home runs, they got no chance.
In 13 games?
Yeah, I think they got two plus a game.
John, they're not hitting 29. They're not. Well, then they got no chance. Home runs over the next.
You know, I think they've got to hit two a game, average two a game. They got to have a game where they have four, for example. Maybe a couple of games.
I'd go the other way. If you're hitting home runs, make sure there's someone on base, please. None of these solo.
You're going to have
not beating Max Scherzer with solo home
runs. My point is these bats have to boom or they're not going to win a title. You do all the rest of that stuff that you just did against Milwaukee, that's great. You don't hit, you're going to be out. End of story. No, I don't think 29-13 is out of the question for a team like the Braves. It's 2+. You think they can hit 2+ home runs a game? I hope so. If they can't, we might be in serious trouble. Jason Longshore next. Alex Anthopoulos after that. Stand by. We got a lot to get into in this hour on The Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on The Game.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the Game. Coming up at 20 minutes, Alex Anthopoulos, general manager of the Atlanta Braves, will join us live. We'll talk to him about what the next step is for the Braves here in the NL Championship Series. Boy, what a fall, y'all. Jason Longshore about to be a very, he's a man of many podcasts anyway, and he's about to be a very busy man because the Hawks play their final regular season game of the year, final preseason game of the year. Tonight at home at State Farm Arena, 7 o'clock tip against the Heat, tickets at Hawks.com, and live on Sports Radio 92 on the Game with Steve Holman beginning at 6:30, and that is the No Swag Shop podcast that is going to be revving back up, and of course, you have all of his duties with Atlanta United. And every time I turn around, Jason, by the way, joins us on the WaveFord.com hotline. WaveFord is Atlanta's Ford dealer. Every time I turn around, there's some tweet of Jason Longshore. Where were you, Chattanooga the other day or something? I mean,
yeah, I was in Chattanooga last night for a watch party for the U.S. men's national team, hanging out with the Chattanooga Red Wolves at their beautiful new stadium. If you've driven between Atlanta and Nashville, you've seen it from the interstate. The giant video board is over there. Very cool venue coming up, and they're starting to develop players in the North Georgia area as well, in Dalton. So exciting times up in that neck of the woods.
All right, I know Chattanooga really well. I lived there for a number of years, and I just drove through not long ago, about a month ago, but I missed it. Where is it in town? Is it downtown?
Eastridge.
Eastridge.
It's on the
okay.
Georgia side of it. Yeah, it's on okay. the Eastridge, like exit 1.
So off 75. I got you. Not off 24.
Off
I got you. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right, I'll start looking for it. Yeah, I'll look for it the next time. All right, right there at the Eastridge. Yeah, that's a state line, when you cross the state line, as soon as you hit the state line.
Yep.
All right, go 75 north. Last night, United States men's team in Columbus gave up a sloppy early goal to Costa Rica, and then managed to fight their way, claw their way back, got a Galaza from Dest, and then a really good strike from Weah to win the game 2-1. It wasn't the prettiest game, but they got the win. How important was this win?
The win was huge because the CONCACAF World Cup qualifying table was a little complicated coming in. I think we did start to get some clarity by the end of the night last night. Mexico went to El Salvador, got a win. The U.S. get their win at home. Canada struggled, gave up an early goal to Panama, came back. It took them a while, but they broke through late and ended up winning 4-1, three goals late in the second half. So that triumvirate that we kind of thought would dominate this run has by the end of the night. But you look early and you look at that point where Costa Rica has the lead, Panama has the lead in Canada, and things were a little crazy in the table. And if things had gone against the U.S., then you're fighting it out the rest of the way. And the second half of the qualifying schedule is not going to be easy, especially the last window for the U.S. where they have to go to Mexico and they end at Costa Rica. The U.S. has to pick up their points at home. They did in this one. They got it done. I'm with you. It wasn't pretty. You know, I'm not taking anything away like, oh, they figured out how to play. Oh, you know, this is going to be the 11, no questions asked. But they bounced back. They showed some strength to come back from giving up an awful goal to start. Dest showed his quality, and they showed a little bit of depth in this round of games. Without Christian Pulisic, without Gio Reyna, they were able to get 2 wins out of 3. You take it, you move on, you expect it to be better, and you have a huge test in November with Mexico coming to Cincinnati.
In the game last night, if you didn't see it, there was a play in the second half where Miles Robinson uncharacteristically made a really sloppy mistake. And gave on the sloppy mistake, kind of a, I don't know, halfway between the top of the goal and midfield, and gave away a free ball to a free runner on Costa Rica for a breakaway. And Miles, he chewed up field to get back and made a phenomenal tackle to end it. How did you view that play? I mean, you could view it like, Miles, what are you doing? And, oh my God, Miles, what a play.
Yes, both. I mean, the thing that Miles Robinson is blessed with is his recovery. You know, he is getting better. It seems like every game where his passing is better, his positioning is better. But what he's been able to rely on at times where those two things have let him down, whether it's you know, not reading the play, not being, you know, touched tight to the attacker where he can reach out and grab him, where the guy gets a little bit of space. Miles has that closing speed, like really very few in the world, and he's able to make up for mistakes. His passing has dramatically improved. I think a lot of people nationally and even internationally still point to, he's not good enough with the ball at his feet. I think he is, but he does, as every player does when you're building out of the back, he does make some mistakes from time to time. The good thing is he's able to fix them typically. He just got to be cleaner. One thing that is a little different that can be tough for players who are coming into a system like what Greg Berhalter wants to do is he doesn't always think of the national team setup and the tactics like we see a lot of national team managers, where it's pretty simplified because, you know, he doesn't have a lot of time to train with these guys. He gets them in for this window especially. They played three games in a week. You know, he might have one regular training session before that starts. The rest of it is recovery and prep for games. You're not able to actually like work through patterns of play, but Greg Berhalter wants them to play like a club team and have those patterns of play that are different than you have at the club level. So it can be difficult sometimes, and those mistakes will happen where you're used to movement coming at your club game that you play every day. He's used to Alan Franco making that move, Anton Walks making that move, getting into that space. They're not there. He delivers the ball where he's used to seeing it every day, day in and day out with Atlanta United. It falls apart at the national team level. Sometimes I think maybe the tactics with the U.S. are a little too complicated. They need to simplify it.
Jason Longshore, Man of Many Podcasts, Hawks in a moment. First to Atlanta United. Big game Saturday. Six games to go. You're on the road in Toronto. No Miles, I'm guessing, after what last night and what have saw. I don't know if you saw it. You may have. You see everything, Jason. All the social media Joseph at the Braves game the other night. Where do we stand on Miles and Joseph's availability for this game? What do you expect?
Joseph did not go with the Venezuelan national team. He is training, but he's training to the side. He's day to day right now because, frankly, he's probably going to be day to day the rest of the season. You know, I don't expect the knee soreness to go away between now and the rest of the season. With six games coming up in 3 weeks for Atlanta United, it's going to be a crowded schedule. So I think a lot of the work that Joseph does is to recover from games and to prepare for the next game and see what he can give. I'm not expecting six starts out of him in six games. I just don't think that's going to be possible. But you're going to want to maximize the impact of the minutes that he can deliver. And that's going to be down to Gonzalo Pineda to kind of schedule that out and have to adjust to the situations on the fly. I think Miles Robinson not playing in Panama on the weekend helps him. It's a Wednesday to Saturday turn. It's what he's about to start doing with Atlanta United. So it is possible. I think the good thing about center back with Atlanta United is you do have depth, and George Campbell has stepped up and delivered when called upon. There's also the possibility of playing four in the back, so only playing two center backs. That could be Anton Walks and Alan Franco or George Campbell factoring into that as well. So if Miles needs a break, they can give him a break. Bello didn't play a ton over the international break, so I think he's fine to come back in on Saturday. Ronald Hernandez is the other one that I don't expect for Saturday because he will be with the Venezuelan national team tonight, as they're in action in CONMEBOL and South American World Cup qualifying. I just don't think logistically he's going to be able to get back in time to make the trip to Toronto. Atlanta has Brooks Lennon, and they've got cover there. But they're facing a Toronto team that, look, has been poor this season, but they've won three of their last four, and they drew the other one. They're unbeaten in four. They've put it together here lately. And I think a lot of that is down to improved defensive play, which has been a huge issue for them all season, but also for them getting back to a midfield trio in Michael Bradley and Jonathan Osorio and Marky Delgado that is very good and has played together for a number of years, 4 or 5+ years. They know each other inside and out. They can control games. I think Atlanta's midfield with Santiago Sosa and whoever else is paired up, and that's a big question mark coming in, they're going to have to outplay Toronto's midfield to control the match.
Jason Longshore, Man of Many Podcasts, of course, Stoppage Time, very popular, and the No Swag Shop is continuing to grow in popularity until your Hawks hat here, final preseason game of the year. We'll talk with our injury expert, Will Carroll, in the next hour, Jason, and get the updates here. But your sense here that any reason to push Trae Young tonight, you want to get DeAndre Hunter into the mix. You're a week away from the opener. It's the final preseason game of the year. How do you handle it if you're Coach McMillan tonight?
I think if there's any questions at all about these guys tonight, you don't see them. I don't think you have to force anything here. It's a long season. You know, you're more worried about any long-term absences that they could have, and you don't need to aggravate anything. It's a preseason game. It's not critical. This group, this core has been together, so you're not still trying to build that chemistry as some teams would really, you know, maybe want to get somebody out there, maybe push it a little bit. I think you're playing it safe. I think tonight it's all about playing it safe and preparing for the upcoming year. I'm still really excited about Sharif Cooper and what he can give this team potentially. I'm excited about getting Hunter and Reddish into this group, as you know, we didn't see them last year on a regular basis. In a year where, you know, you didn't have any big acquisitions, those two guys are those acquisitions. And to get them into this mix, I can't wait to see what this season turns into. I think you and I have talked about it, John. Like, this is the most excitement that I can honestly remember going into a Hawks season ever. Yeah, I don't have another comparison.
Yeah, it compares maybe to Dominique in the late 80s and that team. But, this still is bigger than that. Jason, as always, do appreciate it. Thanks very much for taking the time. Appreciate it, Bob.
Thanks, John.
We'll look forward to Atlanta United and Toronto. Of course, live coverage Saturday night right here on your home of the Five Stripes, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Next up, Alex Anthopoulos, general manager of the Atlanta Braves, live on The Morning Show, where we stand, headed to the NLCS again.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Championship Series.
Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Braves going back-to-back to the NLCS. And your chance to get tickets right now at Braves.com/tickets. Tickets are for sale online at Braves.com/tickets for Game 1. Pardon me, for the first game. I did it again. For the first game in Atlanta, whether that's Game 1 Saturday or Game 3 next Tuesday. And we won't know that till somewhere around 1 in the morning our time. Tomorrow morning, we welcome into the morning show general manager of the Atlanta Braves, Alex Anthopoulos, who joins us this morning on the WaveFord.com hotline. Morning to you, Alex.
Good morning, guys.
So, Alex, tell me, back-to-back NLCS, how does this one compare to the previous three playoff runs and to last year?
Yeah, so I guess I would say this has been more rewarding because we just it was a grind. It was a grind. It's felt like the really long year. It's been dog years, you know. So to get through it and to end out on top and win the division, and now to get back to the CS. You know, I didn't realize this, but you know, someone mentioned it in the office the other day, and I know we got to the CS a year ago, but it wasn't in Atlanta, and it was in Dallas and so on. This is the first time since 2001. Atlanta's going to have, you know, the Braves are going to have a CS game, which I didn't realize that. I've just always viewed the Braves as having a ton of success and being in the playoffs. And you know, I didn't realize that we haven't had a CS game in 20 years here. So that's really cool. And it's exciting for the fans. And obviously the atmosphere at the ballpark's been great in these playoff games. So I would expect that to continue. And I know our players really enjoy it as well.
Talking with Alex Anthopoulos, general manager of the Braves. A lot to talk about with him. Oh, by the way, did you go out to make a run and get pearls? Did you do that?
So I didn't. So my family came to the game, and I have a hard time. I don't behave great when I watch. So I watched in my office, and my family, we have a suite like that the baseball operations staff can go to. So my wife and two kids watched the game there, and after I saw them after the game on the field, they had pearls on. So I guess my wife had arranged to get them at the team store. They're $3 a pop, but... And, you know, Jock Peterson was down on the field, and he was kind of just blown away. He's like, whoa. I didn't think he realized that all these fans were starting to wear pearls. And I think he almost was – there was a part of him that's like, I didn't realize this whole thing had really become – you know, kids are wearing them and fans are wearing them, and he's pretty excited about it. So I think it's great for my kids that they still get a chance to be fans and enjoy this kind of stuff.
You're that clutch. Yeah, people are – yeah. Hey, let's Alex, let's go back to the middle here. I want to go back to the trade deadline for a moment. You know, Cunha's injured. He's out. Braves are searching for the right mix. You make multiple moves to rebuild the outfield. Has that worked out as you expected it would, or has that actually worked out better than you thought it would?
Yeah, so the big thing is I look at run differential a lot. And at the time, even though we were, whatever it was, 3 games, 4 games, 5 games under 500, obviously no one had really pulled away from the division. I think for a good chunk of the year, the Mets were maybe 10 games over 500 or 12. But our run differential was still pretty good, and we had a lot of guys that got off to slow starts. And you knew guys like Freddie Freeman and Dansby and all these other guys. Even Charlie Morton got off to a slow start the first month. They were ultimately all the indicators. We have all kinds of data and information that these things were short-term things, and they were ultimately going to come back, and their numbers were going to be where they needed to be. So knowing that we had been grinding through, our run differential was still good relative to the other teams in the NL East. There's still another 2 months of the year left at the trade deadline. And we fully expected to get a Noah back, Anderson back, Darno back. Then you add a lot of players at the trade deadline. 60 games in 2 months is a lot of games. It's a lot of time. So, you know, look, these guys all played really well. They came up huge for us. You don't know exactly how they're going to perform, but we acquired these guys for a reason. They had upside. Soler started getting hot. He'd been good in the past. A lot of indicators there that he was starting to turn it around. Eddie Rosario had been a really good player. It started off slow for the Indians. Just before he got hurt, he started to get it going. That wasn't a surprise that he was capable of swinging the bat well. Adam Duvall had played well for us in 2020 and played well, obviously, in 2021. His OPS was lower, but still power and great defense. And they were just such upgrades over what we ran out there. So with what we had already had and what we had coming back in the month of August, we truly felt like we had a real chance to make a run at this thing.
Well, obviously, true. I mean, look at how hot you've been over the last, we were talking about, 18 games. Eliminating San Diego, eliminating Philadelphia, eliminating Milwaukee, and playing great baseball here. Talking with Alex Anthopoulos, general manager of the Braves, we'll talk about the NLCS just a moment. When Freddie hits the home run the other night, Alex, and Pay the Man starts trending on digital, I'm curious, are you talking now or do you pause now because of what, you know, the NLCS and potentially World Series here? Do you pause now and wait till it's all over?
I mean, I've been consistent with this, and I totally get the question. I expect it, right? So, one, anytime we're talking with any player about any contractual items, I work really hard to keep that quiet, to not be a distraction. Obviously, it's the elephant in the room. He's going to be a free agent right now, and he wants to stay here. We want to keep him and so on. You know, I got all the, you know, I had friends sending me texts, and MLB Network had a Brinks truck and my face on the steering wheel or something, going to his house or something, you know, which is great, laughing. Look, I hope he hits another 20 and people keep talking about it and everything. Like, that's a great outcome. Our goal always is to win. And obviously I want to see him have success. I want to see all of our players have success. So I don't worry about that kind of stuff. Look, he's a great player. He doesn't need a great postseason or a home run for any of that stuff to change. He's a reigning MVP. He's a perennial 900 OPS guy. He's a durable, gold glove defense at first base. Runs the bases exceptionally well. That doesn't get talked about enough. For a big guy who's not necessarily a pure speed guy, he's a very smart player. You know, all those things, regardless if he went 0-4 in the playoffs or he had 20 home runs in the playoffs, it wouldn't change a thing. Small samples and so on, that doesn't change things. So our desire to have him here and to keep him here long term, that doesn't change. I want him to go completely off. I want everybody to go off. And look, if that continues to happen, that's a really good thing because that probably means we're going to continue to win games.
Alex Anthopoulos joining us. Let's talk about the NLCS here. Game 5 tonight between the Giants and the Dodgers in San Francisco. Big advantage to you that you were able to close out in four from a pitching rotation standpoint, and those two teams have to go to a five?
No doubt. I think it's huge, especially for us. Look, the way we used our relievers, Tyler Matzik, Luke Jackson, those guys pitch 4 out of 5 days, and they're ready to go, but that is a lot. And in the postseason, even Luke Jackson, we were celebrating on the field, and I was like, man, 4 out of 5, that was awesome. And he basically was yelling, he's like, we post, which means we're available to pitch all the time. Like, there's a sense of pride that comes with that. And then certainly what Charlie did as well for us, coming on short rest and so on. You know, we've given Charlie a lot of extra days rest throughout the season whenever we could, but I think that ultimately paid off for us now when we've needed him in some spots. So the fact that we have all this time, I'm hoping tonight's game goes really long. I hope it goes extra innings. I hope they both deplete their pens, and they only have one day off, and maybe that'll help us in a game one scenario or game two scenario. So, you know, from our standpoint, knowing that our bullpen's going to have rest, our position players are going to have rest, and we have more time off to get them healed up, it should only help us in at least the first two games.
Yeah, either's going to be a tough out. I get that. But there is, you know, the whole thing about redemption against the Dodgers from 3-1 last year. And there is the whole, hey, listen, there's a bunch of former Braves starting for the Giants here. But there's also home field. Is that something that kind of creeps into your thought process here, that home field is going to matter a lot and maybe we should root for the Dodgers?
You know, so I look at it, yeah, you can look at it so many ways, right? So, yeah, home field's nice. I don't necessarily love the fact that we have to potentially get on a plane tomorrow. You know, we still have to decide the roster. We don't know which team we're going to play. So we have to decide who's on the team. We're doing all our advanced preparation and so on. We have it ready for both clubs. We still need to go through that with the staff. We still need to go through that with the players. So that's obviously going to be crammed if we're going on the road. So it's much easier and much more convenient to be at home. That being said, we've been good on the road this past year. We played well. So I think the minute you start getting into who you want to play and so on, like I thought we lined up really well against the Cardinals in 2019, and we lost. So you don't know. I think a lot of people thought we wouldn't beat the Brewers, and we did. So you don't know when it comes to the playoffs. I think ultimately if you pitch, you have a chance. I think it's a big reason why we advanced last year. We had a tremendous offense a year ago, but it's hard to score runs in the playoffs. It really is. And the long ball and home runs, a lot of times that's how you put them together because everyone's game planning and so on. And so to me, if we pitch, our rotation, our bullpen does a good job, we'll be in each game.
Alex Anthopoulos, general manager of the Braves. Two more questions here, if I can, Alex. Again, Braves.com/tickets. Tickets are available for the first game in Atlanta right now this morning at Braves.com/tickets. Everything matters at this point. Your starting pitching has been great so far. Relief pitching has really been, the bullpen's been really, really good down the stretch, which has been a nice thing to see. The defense has been great. You've been clutch off the bench. Lord knows you've been clutch off the bench. Hitting, bombing, their bombing team, they're a little bit sketchy there. What's the one area that this team has to excel in between now and 3 weeks from now for you to celebrate and have a parade?
You know, so look, obviously you'd love to score runs and put up 10 runs, but in the playoffs and the postseason, it's just hard to do. You don't see it very often. The LA Dodgers lost the game 1-0, and they're an unbelievable offense. They're loaded, they're stacked top to bottom, and the Giants went out with their bullpen and their rotation. It's just hard to bank on scoring runs. Last year, we had four guys that were silver sluggers last year. And even if you look at the Red Series, those were close games. Even game two, we were up a run, and then we hit two solo homers in the ninth. So you just can't bank on being able to score runs. We have a lot of really good players. But people are paying such attention. We're exploiting weaknesses, and you'll see a guy throw 10 curveballs in a row if he needs to, or doing certain things. We just have such a different level of prep, and a lot of it is on the mound with the guys that start and relievers and guy behind the plate. So the Atlanta Braves did not advance past the first round in a long time. I'd heard about it all 3 years I'd been in Atlanta, my first 3 years. Finally, last year, we broke through. And I believe we broke through because we finally started to pitch. And Anderson was great, and Fried was great. Bryce Wilson and Kyle Wright were great, and the bullpen was fantastic as well. And we went into the postseason with as good an offense as you were going to find in the NL. But you can still be shut down. So I still think it comes down to the rotation. We would love to go up and put up 8-10 runs. It would be big for the bullpen and everybody else. You just can't count on doing that when it comes to the playoffs.
Got 30 seconds. Final question, Alex Anthopoulos. Thanks for taking the time here. You've been part of championship teams. Does this team have that put your thumb on it, be able to write it down, it factor? Do they have the it factor?
You know, I was talking to Max Fried again after we won this last game just in the clubhouse, and he feels that way. He feels like there's just a vibe, a mix, a group. And I know everyone, when they win, they say this is a great group of guys and we love it and so on. But you definitely start to believe. And, you know, he said, look, some people think we're overachieving and so on. And we had the third best run differential in the NL behind LA and behind the Giants. So we're there. I know we didn't have the win total, but we weren't the same team at the end of the year, and we were playing well at the end. So I certainly think we do, but look, you need guys to perform, and guys, and you need some breaks as well. So it's going to be tough, but we're certainly, it would not surprise me if we won the whole thing.
Alex, thanks. Certainly hope we see you at a parade. Thank you very much for taking the time.
All right, guys, enjoyed it.
Randy, Alex Anthopoulos, general manager of the Atlanta Braves. Little reaction to that interview when we get back in a moment. Also in the next hour, Will Carroll, our injury expert, will tell us what he thinks of the Hawks as they get ready to try to go here, and we'll do that all ahead on the morning show on this Thursday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.